Good morning and welcome to Country Bible Church. For any visitors we may have, want to pay our first page this morning. Our first song will be on page 547. Page 547, the church's own foundation. If there's a little more vibrato in my voice this morning, it's because I'm cold.
God only cry, in life and death. Well, it's good to be here. I had a little tough week there, and I know that y'all were praying for me, so I really appreciate y'all's prayers. This part of our service is where we go to God and thank Him for all His many blessings, and we're His children. He takes care of us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are our God and that You have everything that we need. You are the perfect parent. And we thank You that we don't have to earn this. Indeed, it comes from Your grace. Now we commemorate that grace in giving, not from a sense of compulsion, but from a sense of great gratitude. And we do this to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, the great system of perception whereby we can understand the whole realm of doctrine. And we thank You that You are in control of all things and that we can have peace of soul even while everything is being torn apart around us. We thank You for Your love for us, Your grace, and Your mercy. We pray that You will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, most of you have known about a member of our church, extended member, of Kyle Yates. Y'all know him as Rowdy Yates. He's in a prison in Florida, and he was there. they said he was guilty, but he was innocent, and it's very obvious that he was. And he has been in several different prisons, and pretty much all prisons are alike. It's the last place you'd want to be. But he now, his life is in danger. The reason is because someone had said that he let it be known to the inmates that he was one of the jobs he held was a sheriff's deputy. And if you're in there and you've been in law enforcement, they just soon kill you as not. And he's a phenomenal man. He could write a book about his life. He was a professional rodeo, and he rode bucking horses, and he was in the Rangers. He went overseas and battled many times. He personally lost 48 friends in battle. And anyway, he said the word has gotten out about that he was in law enforcement. And so I told him that I was going to tell my congregation and ask them to pray for him, because he's in one of the worst prisons in Florida. So anyway, I hope that you will commit that to just praying the word for him here and there, every day or whenever you think of it. And it'll be in the Lord's hands. He's a phenomenal man, a close friend, and he knows many people here. So I thought I would start with that. Now, normally I would go right straight to the book of Exodus and continue on there. But we live in very trying times. And I put something together today to address the situation that we find ourselves as Christians, as believers, in a world that hates us, a world that's gone mad, and is getting very dangerous for us as well. And I have two articles that I'm going to use today that are excellent articles, but they are true, and nothing is sugar-coated. And the first one has to do with Hamas and what they did to the people, these innocent people. And I've never done this before, but if you're online and you have children and you're not sure that you would want them to hear what I'm going to be giving, because I believe you need to tell the truth, and the people need to know the truth, no matter how unpleasant it may be. So I'll give you a few moments, and even if someone is here that rather not hear what the what I'm going to be teaching, feel free to leave. I mean, that's your decision. But I think we need to face reality. And I'd rather not be teaching what I'm teaching today, but I was convicted to do it because it's true. And we should have the spiritual strength and wherewithal to not be upset or any of these things, because we know that the world is wicked, but it's never been in my time. I don't think anybody's time in modern times to see what has taken place, and that's what I'm trying to address. So, the name of this article is Wake Up World, It's Islam, by Rick Kozlovich. And this was written 4 days ago. And I didn't start where he started. I started where I think we should put everything together. I'm going to address the issue where we have Israel wanting to, and rightly so, exterminate Hamas. And we have Hamas, people taking up for the monsters that they are. And so that's why I was going to start with a few details with regarding to the barbarism that they have recently demonstrated. Are we all good? Y'all ready to hear it? Okay. When these monsters invaded Israel, they went from house to house, burning family after family. We are seeing trucks still arriving, filled with body bags that contain whole families. Grandparents, mothers, fathers, and even little children are being brought down from the trucks. In one case, the remains were so badly burned that only a CT scan revealed it was actually a mother and a baby bound together in a deep embrace. In another, Weisberg told reporters, a pregnant woman was cut open, the fetus pulled out and beheaded, with the umbilical cord still attached. According to a volunteer named Sherry, women arrived with their heads blown off, body booby traps with gang-raped women whose pelvises were broken, even among grandmothers down to the smallest children. Other volunteers told CNN that also grenades were used. There was also evidence of rape. Victims included whole families, little children, babies, even pregnant women, and their bodies were found in a horrific state, mutilated and burnt. They even burned a baby alive in an oven. As for crying children, they just kept shooting them until the crying stopped. Is there any sicker, viler, more demonic movement in the world today than the Hamas organization? And I think about, I'll just stop reading here for a moment. I think about how many people are celebrating these monsters and are supporting them. And I, in my own mind, put them right in there together with the ones who did the dastardly deed. But I'll move on. The latest from them is that Hamas terrorists, fresh from murdering 1,400 people on October the 7th, blood undoubtedly still dripping from their hands, made a tape of themselves, describing how they played with the severed heads of their Israeli victims. What kind of vile, disgusting animal does such things. Islamists, along with their supporters all over the world, were equally vile and disgusting as they cheered and celebrated as if this was a fine and noble deed. And worse yet, academia all over America celebrates. Well, I want to address that too, but I'll just go on because I don't know if I'll get everything I have in, but I'll do what I can. By the way, I'm continuing on the same article. Okay. The fact is, this isn't just a war or survival for Israel. Make no mistake, this is a war between civilization and barbarian hordes. When the barbarians specifically target helpless children, when in addition to that they employ deliberate cruelty, when they kill gleefully, then there can be no peace. If Biden hadn't been fraudulently placed in the White House, this would have never happened. The Biden administration laid the groundwork for the Hamas attack. Their unending efforts to blame others isn't flying in the face of reality, history, or the facts. Biden is directly responsible for all of this, and Iran read him just how incompetent he was and is, and his administration as well, and are starting with this stunningly incompetent and stupid withdrawal out of Afghanistan. These things people remember. All this happening is not, this is, you got to listen closely to this. All that's happening is not solvable because it's not about Jews. It's not about Israel. It's not about America. It's all, and I repeat all, about Islam. And they have been murdering in the name of Islam for 1,500 years, and they're not going to change because the Prophet commanded it. Wake up, world. There's no proportional response that will work, and there is no agreement that they'll honor. As soon as it becomes convenient, they will renege on their promises. Islam only understands power and the willingness to use it. And his last statement here is, so use it. That's the only thing they understand is power. All of this stopping and having pauses is insanity because they will not use it to help their people. You know, their people are just pawns. They use them as human shields. And they make their military outposts and most in their ammunition, everything, places where the Israelis would have to kill the innocents in order to get to the terrorists. When the siren goes off in Gaza, when incoming missiles are coming in, it is a Hamas and the terrorists who get in cover. The people just have to do whatever they can. This is there's so much more I could tell you, but you get the idea. So he says, use it. And then he says, final thoughts. The country that defines human rights as the right to hold mass executions, discriminate against women, Christian, Jews, all other non-Muslims, religions, and even non-Sharia Muslims, all in violation of the UN Charter, is now head of the Human Rights Council, which is Iran. And of course, Iran supports Hamas, and so they're running the show at the UN. Of course, I don't know if what you know about the United Nations, but it is, let's just say the president is Satan of the UN. I mean, it's just as dreadful as it could ever be. And so now the head of the Human Rights Council is Iran. You know, that death to America country. It gets even better. There are 15 nations that make up the UN Security Council, which has a rotting, rotating presidency. China is now head of the UN Security Council. It rotates. And China's first order of business, declare pro-Hamas ceasefire their top priority. What could possibly go wrong? And that ends his article. And this is a very short one here. This was by Robert Socha, Robert Socha. These come from Michael Massey. Is got an ongoing, I don't know if it's a podcast or what it is, but it's very good. And when he's not writing, he has other writings, which I'm just use one, and now I'm using Robert's Socha. And so Robert Socha says, oh, the name of the of his real short thing, and I even shorten them more, Biden's failures endangers Israel, America, and the world. The United States' poor southern border is welcoming masses of fighting-age men who are screaming profanities towards the U.S. involvement in Israel's conflict, bringing death to our shores in the aftermath of their animosity. Now, I'm just going to leave that at, you know, I could spend, you know, anybody talking about the southern border is utterly disgraced, but in anyway, I'm just reading what he started with. And then he said something appropriate here. Psalm chapter 56, verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I think in a normal course of life, that is very handy to have and to know. But with what's going on now and what may be coming in the future, we need to remember that verse. I mean, you can, it's easy to remember, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I think he put it at the right place. Then he says, the fires of class warfare and ethnic identity politics are weaving their destructive flames into the very fabric of our national identity. There is nowhere to turn and avoid its sickening dismantling of Americana. Fear-mongering headlines from every avenue have clamoring in the pursuit of truth. Isn't it nice that we don't have to clamor for the pursuit of truth? You probably have it sitting on your lap. The military-industrial complex, runaway inflation, no election integrity, ethnic tensions and a manifesto declaring death and destruction, all pitting against peaceful administration, are unnerving barriers bringing worldly troubles. And he says, an arduous task befalls us in this endeavor for truth. And then he quotes John 16:33. John 16:33. Jesus said to his disciples, I have said things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It is comforting to know that even amidst the grossest quagmire inflicting death and destruction, the inept bureaucracy infecting our national government, and a monetary policy driving us towards insolvency with breathtaking rapidity, we can take heart and be at peace because the author and finisher of faith is working until now to reveal his Son and woo whoever into the vine. May I close with a gentle reminder that you, dear reader, and I are part of the whosoever, and I hope and pray we all hear and endure. And that's all I have of that. Now, this is going to be brought together now with regards to what I'm about to bring up. There's a lot of arguing, debating, ruffled feathers, and violence these days about Israel's right to annihilate Hamas for the ongoing, utterly despicable surprise attack on innocent Jewish people. It has caused millions of people around the world to openly support Hamas as the injured party and Israel as the one who needs to be destroyed. Y'all have seen that. It's sickening, and especially since so much of it is in our own country. Anti-Semitism is front and center now. So shall we look into God's Word to find out what He says about destroying nations? Would you like to see what He thinks about it? Let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. I just skipped verse 1 for brevity. 1 Samuel 15, verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Talking about Israelites. Verse 3. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. I believe that covers it all. Now, why would God do that? What is His purpose? And you might think, well, that's probably the only time it says it. No, I'm going to address several. But I don't want to leave you hanging. This is the simplest way I can say why God was going to utterly destroy Amalek. Amalek is the name for the Amalekites. The Amalekites were like Hamas and Hezbollah. They hated the Jews so much that the only way to keep them from annihilating the Jews was for the Jews to annihilate them first. And I think that's what we see ongoing in the war between Israel and Hezbollah. So, I have here, I'm not trying to besmirch the Muslims, but Muslims believe in the Quran. And in the Quran, it requires Muslims to kill Jews. Here's a few other verses. Shura, that be capital S-U-R-A-H, Shura 2:1-19. And kill them, talking about non-Muslims, wherever you find them, kill them. Such is the recompense of the disbelievers, non-Muslims. Then in Shura 3:151, we shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Shura 9:5. Then kill the disbelievers, non-Muslims, wherever you find them, capture them and besiege them, and lie in wait for them in each and every ambush. That's just a simple sample, but there are many more. They tell them if you find them behind a tree, tell the tree to move and, you know, do your thing. The word Islam means submission. The Quran dictates repeatedly that its followers must convert you to Islam or kill you if you refuse to convert. Much of the Quran speaks about religion, but only about one must submit. That's their religion. It commands how one must live, dress, treat women, slaves, and practice jihad, which is war against the unbelievers. Islamic terrorists are not going to just go away and leave us alone. According to the Quran, they must persist until we are all either converted to Islam or killed. Islam is the religion in which God, which is Islam's Allah, requires you to send your son to die for him. Christianity is the faith in which God sends his son to die for us. Anyway, I thought that would be appropriate there. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, what? Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I'll pick just one verse before I go. We're going to start with verse 10. But verse 3 and 4, I want to pick up on that first. Verse 3, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted, and do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them." Now listen to this. "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." You might want to underline that or put a little marker around it. Verse 10 starts where he says, whenever you approach a city, I think I can put this on the board. That might make it easier for y'all. I don't know if it's big. Can y'all see that okay? Okay, and you can mark up on your Bibles if you have it turned to this as well. When you approach a city to fight against it, you shall offer it terms of peace. Now this is when the Israelites were going to conquer Canaan, which is the promised land. He says, when you go to fight against it, you shall offer it terms of peace. And it shall come about if it agrees to make peace with you and opens to you, then it shall be that all the people who are found in it shall become your forced laborers and shall serve you. Now that's the only way that they could stay alive is to become their slaves. If they were willing to do it, then that's fine. Verse 12. However, if it does not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. Verse 13. When the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall strike all the men in it with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, only the women and the children and the animals and all that is in the city, all its spoils, you shall take as booty for yourself. And you shall use the spoil of your enemies, which the Lord God has given you. Thus you shall do to the cities that are very far away from you, are not the cities of nearby nations. So he was talking about the nearby nations in Canaan. But he says, if they're far away from you, verse 16, only in the cities of these people that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes. But you shall utterly destroy the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite as the Lord your God has commanded you. Now, these are the ones that could do much harm to them. I mean, you couldn't take these people as slaves and trust them not to try to take over. Now, he gives the reason why here in verse 18. You see, I have it underlined. In order that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against the Lord your God. So, these people were pagans. Some of the things I had listed about Hamas, they were doing, and probably even worse. And so, God requires them to be done with. I'll just keep this on there so you can see it. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. Deuteronomy 7. We're in Deuteronomy. Let's go back to verse 7. I have a pericope, which is a heading above mine, and it says, the command to destroy the Canaanites. So here we go with that. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 7, 1. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, underline that, all of them are greater and stronger than the Israelites were. Verse 2, and when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. I'm sorry, I'm trying to move this up. It's not wanting to move. You are not to, furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. And then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he quickly destroy you. Who's out there knows how to make this move? Where's Cam? Or somebody? Brett? Where's Brett?
Right here.
Huh?
I don't know how to make this thing move. Pray for it.
All right. Okay, I got to take her here. I've never had it do that before. Okay, that's good. Thank you. See how hard that was? Well, look at that. I'm just going to have to use the mouse, I guess. Okay. Where did I stop for? Oh, yeah. And they will take from your daughters and for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me, and the anger of the Lord be kindled, and so forth. Verse 5. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and hew down their Asherim. These are all things that they worship, essentially their idols. And you are to hew down their Asherim and burn their graven images with fire, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were fewer of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out of a mighty hand with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. Now look at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God and faithful God, and He keeps His covenant. Maybe this little thing up here has something to do with it. Who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. You got that? That's why I have it in green. That's what He has the Israelites for, the Israelis. Verse 10, now it's in red. But He repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. So we're seeing why God has to destroy these people. He doesn't have pleasure in it, but He's protecting His own people. And what would Israel be if they complied with all the nonsense of let's take a break and have a ceasefire? Is that justice? Absolutely not. And so Israel is absolutely on strong ground for wiping these vermin out. Here's another example in Esther 8, verse 10 and 11. If you want to go there, you can. Esther chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. Okay, Esther 8 and verse 10. Okay, let's go. Esther 8:10. And he wrote in the name of the king Ahasuerus and sealed it with the king's signet ring and sent letters by couriers on horses riding on steeds sired by the royal stud. And them, in these papers, in them the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including the children and women, to plunder their spoil. If you know about the book of Esther, you had Haman who was going to annihilate the Jews, and of course Esther came in, God used her to save the day, and it turned around, they were the ones that got annihilated. So the Jews in Esther's time had the right to annihilate an army of any people which attacks them, including women and children, and to plunder their spoil, and they still have a right to do that today. And so do we. Let's see. I'm just going to read this. If you have it in your Bible, that's fine. But these are just certain verses to show a progression of when God lowers the hammer and utterly destroys them. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2 through 3, we have Saul was anointed king, and the Lord had told him to wipe out, annihilate the Amalekites. And so it says here, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek, utterly destroy all that he has. This is the same verse we saw earlier. And do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and camel, sheep and camel and donkey. Then right in same chapter 15, by verse 8, he says, and he, Saul, captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Is that going to please God? What?
Yes.
No. No way is it going to please God, because he said to kill everything and everybody. And he captured Agag. Agag was the king of Amalek at that time. So, just underline there, see the Bible says, he captured Agag and the king of Amalekites alive. And God said to kill everything. Now we drop down to verse 17 and 18. And Samuel said, is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made head of the tribes of Israel? God made you king. And the Lord anointed you over king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are exterminated. All of them. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Paul also saved the sheep and the things that he would like to have himself, and the people, again, disobeyed God. And Samuel said, bring me Agag. And Agag, the king, came to him, and he said, I'm so glad that I'm free from death now. I'm going to live a good life. And Samuel said, just as your sword has made many women without children, your mother's going to be the same. And he took that sword and he hacked him to pieces in front of the Lord. That is exactly what he should do. And because of what Saul did, disobeyed the Lord took his kingship away from him. In fact, it happened right then, because Saul was pleading for Samuel to give him another chance and let him have keep the kingship. And Samuel said no, and he turned to walk away, and Saul reached out there to grab him, and his coat ripped. And Samuel said, just as that coat ripped you away from being king, God has already given it to someone better than you. So anyway, that's how that ended. Well, the time is gone. I hope when people try to be so audacious as to point their finger and say that God was wrong when he wiped out all the people. That's one thing you don't want to ever do, is talk about how God did something wrong. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have... I know one thing. I know that Jesus Christ is the only one that can help us. And if we trust Him, He will. If we don't, if we defy Him, then we will be exterminated. That's the message we need to be giving people. This didn't have any politics in it whatsoever, because it just gums up the works. We need to actually stop talking as much about politics and start talking a lot more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to determine whether we continue as a country. I have so much more I could tell you that is, you could say it's frightening, but it's reality. And that's what we want, isn't it? Reality? We hear enough garbage on everywhere else. So, pray with me as we close our lesson with going to God. Our great God, we are so thankful that You have made it very clear in Your Word how to navigate through these troublesome waters. We want to do what is right. People are looking for truth. The truth is there. All you have to do is find it. We're so thankful that You are a God of grace and mercy, but You're also a grace of justice and righteousness. We pray that as we go on every day, that we will be good ambassadors, that we'll be thinking about You, we will be talking to You, and be ready for those who truly are looking for truth, so that You can guide them and show them. Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me." That sets so many people's teeth on edge, but it is true. We pray that You will give us the discernment, give us the courage to trust You in all these things. And if we have a bout of fear that takes over our soul momentarily, we acknowledge that this is a sin, and that we are going to stand fast. Take courage and be not dismayed. For the One who lives inside you will fight for you today. We love You, Father, and we're so thankful for You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We must always remember that the one who blesses Israel will be blessed, and the one who